here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this morning, for your love to us, Lord, and knowing that you are here to basically just do it all. And so, Father, we just yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit and just ask you, Father, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be pleasing and have our lives pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning will be Satan Seed number 28, and it will be questions and answers from our yesterday's meeting with the French ministers. There's 14, and that was our Saturday 29th meeting. I'm re-preaching it today, but I kind of do that every time we have a Spanish meeting or a French meeting. I like to take, just to keep you all, because I don't want to give them something I'm not giving you as well. The question was, you said in Satan's Eden, number 25, page 4, "Yet God, who is rich in mercy, has made a way for them, and that is what I want to address to you this evening. Your parents, your brothers, your sisters, maybe your children, or your close friends who are just blind and cannot help being blind, they were ordained to their blindness because they are a part of what makes up the Laodicea age, which are blind, naked, miserable, and don't even know it." So question number one, does this concern the promise that God made that we will gather with our offspring over there? Okay, let's look at that promise first. Isaiah 65 and 20. "There shall be no more sense an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And thus shall be the serpent's beak. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." I am so looking forward to that time to spend my entire eternity with my wife, my children, and you people, and no destruction, no crookedness, no perversions, no lying, stealing, cheating, politics, all that's gone down the tube. So from the token, Brother Bram said, like Jacob did, he told his wife and all them, he said, "Wash your clothes and everything, put away them gods." Amen. You know what Joshua said before crossing over? He said, "Wash your clothes, come not at your wives," and so forth, "and get ready, for within 3 days we'll cross Jordan." Amen. He was getting ready. They was applying the token. Amen. That's it. Get ready. Apply it. Believe it. Clean it. Clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. That's right. And it'll take effect. Yes, sir. Then apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth that you know it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence, believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband or talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help, and stand there and say, "Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you." Again, from the token, he says, "Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayers, as I said, and now believe for ourselves and apply the token to the whole family, like in Egypt, Jericho, or either in Acts 16:31. We find out the Apostle Paul told the Roman centurion, "Believe thou, and all thy house shall be saved." Apply it to your family. If you got an unsaved child, lay the token right on top of him and say, "Lord God, I claim him." Stay right there. If you got a mother or a loved one that's lost, lay that token on them and say, "Lord God, I claim them." Move out all the worldly trash out of your house. Get ready for it. Burn up your shorts. Throw those card tables out. Get rid of your cigarettes. Dump your unbelief in your church papers in the trash can where they belong. Amen. Then you're getting ready. Then what do you do? Then apply the token in prayer with real evidence, with real faith. Apply it with confidence, When you apply the token, know that you're cleaned up. If your hearts condemn us not, then we have a request. As long as you people are doing them things that's wrong, how are you going to ask God to do anything for you when you know that you're wrong? That's the reason we just stagger up and stagger back. I'm not saying this to hurt. I'm saying this to straighten out, to get things right. How are you going to build it upon the charge of a Sodom and Gomorrah? So come back. And again, from another version of the another message you preached in the token. Believe for yourself and apply the token also for your family, like they did in Egypt and like they did at Jericho, Acts 16:31. We find out Paul told the Roman to be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Him and his house could be saved by doing the same thing. Move out. Some people want to apply the blood and stay in. But you apply the blood and kick all the trash out of the house and have a house cleaning time. You women take off them shorts. You men throw away them cigarettes. You women too. Get all this stuff out of the system here that's called the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not even in you. When you're ready to apply the token, empty up and get ready for it. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Women, come along. And again, from the token, he said, apply it, create the atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. See, if you got the token, you created a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See, amen, that's it. Apply the token, then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Now you've been listening a long time. Now this is evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days, and it'll be too late then. See, apply the token with confidence. And again, from paragraph 151, it says, that's what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Jericho. If you want to read another one, Acts 16:31, Paul told the centurion, believe. He said, I'm the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thy house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house and bring them all under it. Now, you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before the judgment. You believed it. Yes, what can I do? He said, rise and be baptized. Paul took him out and baptized him. He said, now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thine house shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then, what do you do when you apply the token to your house? Move all the trash out. Get all the shorts and cards and cigarettes and televisions and whatever more, and kick them out the door. You're going to apply the token. You won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dances and parties and rock and roll and old vulgar newspapers and stuff that's of the world, kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning out this place around here. Again, from the token 150, flee for safety then apply. See, believe for it. Here's what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe for your own safety and then apply the token for the whole family. See, you say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked for you, then you and the word becomes one. Amen. Amen. See it? See, it works for both of you. You and the word are one. Then apply to your children. Apply to your loved ones like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father and she applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. You apply it and say, Lord, I'm going after my son. Now remember, Rahab was a harlot. You think she remained a harlot? She cleaned it up. She got it ready. She cleaned it up. She applied the token. How much more for a saint of God? I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit that lives in me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me, and he will do it. Amen. Again, from the token, paragraph 67. He says, I don't know. You might have cast out devils. You might have healed the sick by your prayers of faith. You might have done all these things, but if that token's not there, you're under the wrath of God. You might be a believer. You might stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel, and many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, preached in your name? Have not I cast out devils in your name? That's both Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never even knew you. But when I see the token, I'll pass over you. It's God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. Okay, so yes, my brothers, the promise is unto you and to your children. So many as as the Lord our God will call. That is what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now remember, the very first thing he told them was to repent. Change your ways. Kick all the garbage out. See, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came among every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. So question number two, can we declare that both the appearing and the coming are parts of the seventh seal mystery? No, sir. The appearing and coming are a part of the mystery of God. There's a difference between the mystery of God and the seventh seal mystery. The seventh seal mystery is when the coming of the Lord will take place, and it will remain a mystery until God interprets that word by bringing it to pass. And remember, it will be a secret catching away. And they are made known by the seventh angel when he breaks the seal, and six of the seals are revealed, but the seventh will not be revealed until it comes to pass. And then only those caught up to it, all others, will remain a mystery to them. From the seventh seal, Brother Bram said, the 24 elders that stood before God, they're harping with their harps. They quit playing their harps. The angels hushed their singing in heaven. Now think, the holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw it in the temple with six sets, or three sets of wings, two over his face, two over his feet, and flying. And he's day and night there before God saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the posts of the temple moved with their presence, and these holy seraphims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Amen. Flying in the presence of God, singing, Holy, 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 they shut up. No angel singing, no praises, no altar services, no nothing. There was silence. Hush. Deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the hosts of heaven were silent for this half hour when the seventh seal mystery in the book of Revelation was broke open. Now think of it, but it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know. They just stopped. Why? What was it? So if those holy angels and seraphims and cherubims all shut up when the seventh seal mystery was opened, then why do we have so many preachers opening their mouths and yapping away about that seventh seal mystery when Brother Branham said, we don't know anything about it? You see, we have to say what he said, not more than what he said. He says, say what's on the tapes and only what's on the tapes. All right? Now, from the Feast of the Trumpet, Brother Branham said, and at that same time, now as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, so there's got to be something that draws us together, she's taken up. There's your rapture of the bride. In the mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal, the mystery going. Now, will you ever know, or will you ever see the seventh seal mystery? Absolutely, you'll be part of it. But you won't know until it happens. See? And the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses. And they come back, and there's where the Pentecostals is all mixed up. They're looking for something to happen, and the church is done gone, and that's to the Jews. From the Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Ram said, that seventh seal hasn't opened yet. That's 1964, a year and 3 months after he preached the seventh seal. The seventh seal hasn't opened yet. You know that's his coming. You see, that's all. There was space of silence, and Brother Ram said, all we know is that's the coming, but we don't know when, where, why, whatever. That's God's business. From the seventh seal, he said, now, there was some reason that God let the seven voices be thundered, because it must come. See, we find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand and he opened that seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. No one knows it. But it's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. They also would not know about his seven thunder mystery. Well, if nobody will know about the seven thunder mystery, why are people, you're making a whole cult out of it. You see? So you see, it's connected together. That much we have a understanding of it today, because the rest of it is all unfolded, but this is not unfolded. So all the rest unfolded, but this is not unfolded. But sitting in our room, I heard this, or not heard it, but rather seen it unfold to the seven thunders. Now, that's as far as we can go right there. Now, I trust that each and every one of you will serve God and do that which is right and love Him with all your life and serve Him, and God will take care of the rest. Write that in your Bibles. God will take care of everything. Just live a good Christian life. Love Him with all your heart. And He is the Word. Now see, what He said here. Do not worry about it. It is a mystery, and God will take care of it. Just love God and serve Him, and leave the rest up to God. From the seventh seal, He said, I better stop right here. See, I just feel checked not to say no more about it. See, so just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not opened. That's in the seventh seal, He said that. The reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And I want you to know, before I even knowed any word about that, that vision come years ago. You remember that. And here it is, just as this other has, slides right straight into the Word exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. And never one time of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Oh my. Just shows it's from God. See? It fits exactly in the promise of God from the end of the message. You notice now, for the end of time message, this seal, after all, He's revealed all the six seals, but it don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible before knowing that. And remember Revelation 10:1-7, chapter 10:1-7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God would be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. So when does it take place? Remember, Revelation 10:1-7, at that point, all the mysteries will be revealed. But this mystery is not revealed until God interprets it by bringing it to pass. Which means, as Brother Branham said, the seventh angel messenger will be on earth at the time of this coming. Okay? People want to apply that to the parousia. That's resurrection, brother, sister. We are going to come together in a resurrection ministry just like Jesus did in the Alpha. We will have the same in the Omega. At that time, we'll be introduced to Christ, and that will fulfill that final mystery of the seventh seal, because it's a mystery going, he says. So let me just say this. All these ministers who are teaching on the seventh seal, I think they know what it is, are just grasping at straws. We know one thing, it is a secret coming of the Lord, Jesus. Not the appearing, it is the coming. That coming is physical. And no one will know it until it happens, and then God will interpret it by bringing it to pass. From His message, a guide, Brother Bassett, and the Holy Spirit always speaks of the Word. I've got many things to tell you, you cannot understand it now, but when He comes, He'll guide you to it. That's the reason the coming of the seals. At the finishing of the seventh seal, the mystery of God should be finished to know. Now notice, the mystery of God should be finished, not the mystery of the seventh seal. The mystery of God should be to know who God is and what He is and how He lives and His nature and His being. And you're supposed to be all the way up here by that time, see? Bring us into the full stature of sons and daughters of God. Why? For adoption. A church that's washed in the blood of Jesus, that's bought without money, is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are to be all the way up there before the seventh seal mystery takes us out of here. So that is what I've been circling the globe for the past 20 years, trying to get the people to that maturity, to know who God is and how He operates, His nature, His relationship with His firstborn son and sons, how the appearing and coming are two different words and they mean two different things. And now notice He said the mystery of God should be finished to know who God is. That's the mystery of God. To know who God is, what He is, how He lives, His nature, his being. You're supposed to be all the way up here by that time. See? Bring us all, bring us into the full stature of the sons and daughters of God. So he's talking about the mystery of God, not the seven seal mystery. But the mystery of God that should be finished by that time we get up to that place where we will be ready for the mystery coming to be revealed and manifested. From the seven seal, Brother Ram said, I better stop right here, see? I just feel checked, not to say no more about it, see? So just remember, the seven seal, the reason it was not opened, see? The reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. Hey, I'm satisfied with that. All right? From the seventh seal, again, he says, see, Israel's gathering in its own homeland. But you notice he omitted the revelation of the seven seals. And here, when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. See? So we see that it's a complete mystery, therefore. The hour is not yet for this mystery to be made known. Therefore, we're this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. Now, until that time, let's just all pray and live a good, straight Christian lives, looking forward to his coming. That's your part and my part. Let's all just be praying and living a good, straight Christian life and looking for his coming. Again, from the seventh seal. It says, now we have in the completion here now, by the grace of God, all the mysteries of the six seals that's been sealed up. And we understand and know that the seventh seal is not to be known to the public. Now, his coming and the hour of his coming, when the destruction of the earth, you know he said there, what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the world in Matthew 24? Where there where they asked him that question, he went down to that. He told about Israel being gathered as a nation in the 31st verse of Matthew 24:31. But then he started off on parables. See, then you see there, learn a parable of the fig tree. When you see it putting forth its bud, why, you know spring is nigh. And then when you see this coming to pass, you know the time is near. So we know when it will be, but not we will not know the day nor the hour that is to take place. That's the mystery of the seventh seal coming. All right? From the seventh seal, I said, now, in other words, we'll know the season, the time, and the timing of the season. He said it'd be in the springtime, right? All right. From the seventh seal, I said, now, there was some reason that God let his seven voices be thunder, because it must come, see? For we find that Christ the Lamb took the book in his hand and he opened the seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it, but it's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seventh thunder mystery. Well, if they will not know about the seventh thunder mystery, then why do we have probably not a third of the message, but quite a few, at least in Africa. A third of the churches over there are all into the seventh thunder stuff. So you see, it's connected together, that much we have an understanding of it, because the rest of it is all unfolded, but this is not unfolded. Question number three. The prophet is using the word coming, sometimes while speaking about the presence, and sometimes while speaking about the second coming, which is the rapture of the church. The prophet said the seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. He also said the seventh seal, no one knows nothing about it because it's his coming. So what do you think about it? Well, I know people read King James Version that translated the word parousia into coming when it speaks of presence and not coming. Coming shows arrival, while presence shows having arrived, then what goes on in association with that arrival. Remember, we showed you there's 84 signs and events associated with the parousia that Jesus spoke of, Paul spoke of, James, John, and Peter. And there's 79 of them already taking place. So we know it's a period of time. Coming is not a period of time. Coming is the instant, you know, he's coming. He's, boom, he's there. Now, from that point on, it's his presence. But Brother Branham, like Jesus, had to say things in such a way that it might go plumb over the heads of those who were not meant to understand. He said in a sermon, the unveiling of God. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal it. And each time, and if you who take the tapes and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had spiritual understanding of what that God has been in trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. All right? it's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. And it must be done that way. So he's telling the tape listeners that he says things to catch, some of them to go out, some to ponder over, and others to thin down. And he said that is purposely done. Now, Jesus did the very same thing. So don't think this is a quirky kind of a thing that Brother Branham is telling us here. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And the disciples came and they said unto him, why are you speaking unto them in parables? Now, in Mark, chapter 4, it says, why are you speaking to them on the outside in parables? Notice the language of the disciples. They use the word them instead of us. Them speaks of others and not inclusive of your own self. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, because an echo is over and over again. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he echoes. For therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they don't hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, that's the prophecy, have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. All right. So when Brother Branham said, the seventh angel will be here at the time of this coming, if that coming is the second coming, that's when he introduces us to it. So he's got to be here. He's got to be back. It's like Moses went away and came back 40 days later. They didn't know where he was. Came back with the word 40 days later. See? All right, question number 4. We know that God interprets his word by making it come to pass. Will the 10th vision be fulfilled in this side or the other side? Because how people from every nation can be together in one place, as you saw it in your dream, in this moment where the world is facing lockdowns, etc., a meeting where resurrected ones will be present, as Brother Branham. So will it take place in this side or in a certain dimension? Okay, the question then that must be asked is, will the resurrection be in this dimension or in another? Now, let's face it, those who have slept in the earth have gone to another dimension. They're already in another dimension, the sixth dimension. But they must come back to this dimension for the resurrection of their bodies. Don't ask me how God will do it, but all I can say is that he transported Philip several hundred miles, or actually, I think it's actually 30 miles, for meeting with the eunuch on his chariot. Let's just read it. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? Now that'd be wisdom for today. And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Now, notice, we're going to see where, I have the map here. You can see down at the bottom of the map is Gaza. Up there is Ashdod, which is Zeus. And we're going to see God transported him 30 miles. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But the Philip was found at Azotus, about 30 miles away, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, so how did he get there? 30 miles is a long ways on foot. But the Bible tells us the Lord caught away Philip. So he did not have to walk that distance. If it takes 15 to 22 minutes, average, to walk 1 mile, then multiply that by 30, and to walk it would have taken between 7.5 and 11 hours. But the Bible says he did not walk it. The Bible says God caught him away from Gaza to Azotus, which is Ashdod. And this word caught away is also used in several other scriptures as the words caught up. We find it used in 2 Corinthians 2 and 12 and 2, where the Apostle Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Where he said, how that he was caught up into the third paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, we all believe that God will catch us up in the rapture, but is not the resurrection also a part of the rapture? As Brother Ram taught us in his sermon called The Rapture, from 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this word caught up, I've read you three different scriptures. Wasn't Paul caught up to the third heaven, as well as Brother Branham was caught up to the sixth dimension? So brothers, just relax. Remember, we already read to you that William Branham said about the seventh seal mystery. He said, the hour is not yet for this mystery to be known. Therefore, we're just this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on the earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. Now, until that time, let's all pray and live good, straight Christian lives, looking forward for his coming. And I'd like to read you one more quote here from Brother Branham, from Christ revealed in his own word. He says, you see these little pockets going through the air, they call saucers, so forth. People so that, we better leave that alone. But hear how these people come up missing. You say, well, don't hear from them. They're standing there and they're not there. That's the way the rapture is going to be. One of them would drop right down and this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. And there'll be hide, hair, or bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time, dropping right out of space and taking home that. We see all this going on now. The Pentagon is wondering about these lights and mystic lights and everything they're seeing in the sky. You see, they had one here in the paper at Jeffersonville this week and so forth, a mystic light saw. And they don't know what that is. But listen, little children, it's going to pick you up one of these days, see? So don't worry. Look, the resurrection and the rapture is all a supernatural thing. It's not memorizing doctrine so that you got it all together. It's God. Brother Brian, I would like to add a fourth question concerning the tenth vision, that the resurrection, change of the body, and rapture will be universal. According to the scriptures and the way Brother Branham interprets them, how do you reconcile this with the tenth vision? Thank you. Well, from Abraham and his seed, Brother Branham said, well, the church has come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, gifts manifesting to it. And now what? The Spirit of God moving in the church, doing the same works that Jesus did before he left as a promise. And what's the next thing? The change. The next thing happened to Abraham was a changed body. He had to have it or he never got that son. And the next thing happens to the church is the rapture. We'll have to be changed and caught up in the air to meet him. We can't meet him on earth. We've got to go up in the air to meet him. It's the coming son, the promised son. Amen. We've looked for him now for hundreds of years. He will come someday. But the next thing for the church is to be changed. We've had a very signs, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, placing of a son, manifestation of the Spirit. Now what? The changing of the body for the rapture. Oh my. How the church ought to be waving its hands in glory, thanking God, any minute the change could come. For the Bible said it'd be universal. Jesus said, there will be two in the mill grinding, I'll take one and leave one. Two in the field, I'll take one and leave one. Who's the one saying, I'll take one? God. Two in the bed, I'll take one, leave one. Showed it would be on both sides of the earth, while it's night on one side, day on the other. I'll take one and I'll leave one. The rapture will be universal and their bodies will be changed. And our bodies will have to be changed. We just can't back. We just can't turn back to young men and women. We've got to have a different kind of a body, so that you can be caught up in the air and receive the promised son. That's what the church is waiting for now. The true church. Every manifestation, what he did to Abraham, he has done to his seed after him, leaving one thing, and that's the rapture of the church. From the Smyrna church age, he said, oh, it's going to be wonderful someday, some morning, some of these times, to show you that the resurrection is going to be universal. There'll be two in the field, and I'll take one, and two in the bed, and I'll take one. See, it'll be a night, one place, daylight, the other side of the earth. Be universal resurrection, the rapture, the trumpet of God shall sound, and every one of these, of this little church here, and even that little bunch that went through there and come out here. Notice here he said, I will take one and I'll leave one. Two over here, I'll take one, leave one. Who is doing it? God does it. It's not William Branham to decide who will make the rapture and who will not. It's not for you and I to decide who's going to make it and who's not. It's up to God. For question and answers, he said, look at the missions that died down there in the fields of Africa. Look at them that's died up yonder in the frozen regions of the north. Look at them that died in the arena and all over the world and in Congo and all around the world. They died everywhere, China, Japan, all around the world, and the coming of the Lord will be universal. The rapture will. Watch the changing. There will be two in the bed. I'll take one, leave one. The same moment. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one and leave one. On the other side of the earth and on the light side of the earth. See? It'll be a universal rapture. Yes. The church will be all together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. How are we getting there? God. How's he going to do it? Hey, I have no clue other than the prophet said, these little like pockets of orbs or whatever it is that comes down. When it picks you up to take you to the resurrection, it's changing your body. He said, we ought to have a body change. Okay, so what did Abraham and Sarah have to do to get a body change? A new diet? Was it a new type of exercise? I don't think so. Was it, for the Bible says, it's God working in you. Both to will and to do. His good pleasure. And his word also tells us, he which began the good work in you shall perform it. And again, he is the author and the finisher. So, brother, sister, just as Brother Brown said, now, until that time, let's just all pray and live a good, straight Christian life, looking forward for his coming. So I think I just answered the last few minutes here. Now, question number 5, can you tell us what's the return ministry of Brother Branham is about? As there are many fanaticisms around this issue as well. I do not call it the return ministry, although in a sort of way it is a return, but I prefer to call it his resurrection ministry. Jesus had a resurrection ministry. And if Alpha must repeat in Omega, then William Branham will also be involved in a resurrection ministry. And that is what the angel spoke of his tent when he said, watch the resurrection in there. From the masterpiece, Brother Branham said, the Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last and the second or the last message is the same. I was in Alpha. I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay hours on that. And finally, question six. The prophet said that the ecumenical council of churches, the image of the beast, will bring the measure around the world. Will bring the pressure around the world. He said also that they will cut it up in pieces, and through politics they will get it done. So actually, what are the events showing that the Catholic Church is hiding behind governments for this worldwide boycott? Well, first of all, she's hiding, which means she's not making it too well plainly known. Now, most of the world are not aware that the Vatican's three satellites took down our election in November of 2020. I brought that out in Unveiling of God 192. My link that I posted on the bottom of the page has been changed so that when you click on it, you no longer get the article, you get something else. So whoever changes links, change links. But from the Italian defense contractor Leonardo Satellites, used in U.S. election hacking, ex-CIA Bradley Johnson, written on January 4th of 2021, according to new information revealed by former CIA officer Bradley Johnson, Italian defense contractor Leonardo Satellites were used in 2020 U.S. election hacking. According to Johnson, Frankfurt servers only hosted partial tracks of the hacking. The operation to recalibrate the hacking attack took place through Leonardo servers, and after this switching of numbers, the new manipulated data was sent back to the Dominion voting machines in the U.S. And that's all. Just go to who's the pillow guy? Frank, whatever. He's got.
Lindell.
Frank. Mike Lindell. I guess this thing's called Frank Speech, and they've got all the data. You can watch it. As it's coming across the nations, it's going over to Italy, and it's being changed, it's rerouted to Germany, and it's sent back. You can see all that taking place. It's no mystery, but it is to the world because they won't put that on the news. All right. So the data transfers explain the infamous glitch in Dominion voting machines during the election, according to the officer. All right, now question seven. Can you tell us about how California earthquakes process is going on now, according to science? Do you believe that Los Angeles prophecy has something to do with the resurrection of the saints today, as it was in the Alpha ministry? As I see in the Alpha ministry, it must repeat in Omega, or God changes. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am God, I change not. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he doesn't change. So when we go back to the Alpha ministry, we read in Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, remember, shout, voice, trump. When Jesus cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, because he didn't arise immediately, but says, comma, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. That's 3 days later. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, if those who are sleeping in the ground, all right, it says, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Well, then we need to know what happened with his resurrection. So, in his resurrection, in the end of the Sabbath, as began to draw to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now you've got two. One that got them ready, and the other one to bring them forth. The Greek word there for great is mega. So there's got to be a mega earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white like snow. And as fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. It's all supernatural from here out, brother, sister. The earthquakes are going to be supernatural. I don't think it'll be something that, well, maybe China or Russia nukes a bomb and this and that. there's no China and Russia nuking bombs back when Jesus prays. There was a big earthquake and then a bigger earthquake. A big earthquake and then a mega earthquake. All right? So, you know, when Brother Branham saw that big earthquake in Alaska, he thought perhaps that may be the time. But then he talked about the one in California. Now, there's been many years between them. So I can't say, I just don't know. All I can say is when California goes, that could be the mega earthquake, because it'll be bigger than any earthquake we've ever had. And that could cause a time of confusion, that God will bring all the pieces together. It'll be a secret coming of the Lord and a secret going of the church. But remember, like Brother Brown said, the little pockets, he said they call them saucers, but it's the little pockets. So they drop down, they could take people. We don't need somebody's airplane. Good grief. You know, if you've got, I don't mean to be sarcastic about this, but if you've got a God who can change your body in the moment and twinkling of an eye, you think he's going to need an airplane to get you from Africa to the United States? I don't think so. Now, he has investigating judgment angels, he called them in other places. We all have an angel. You know, so it's up to God. This is all supernatural we're talking about. But the God who gave you new birth is a God that's going to change your body. So just relax. Enjoy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you. Knowing that you are the author and finisher. Father, we live through these lives. We're getting old. Brother Steve, Brother Don, myself, Brother Michael. We're coming to the last light in our being. We had four. We're getting down to one. We don't have much time left to live in the natural. But you're going to do something, Father, for us. Because you promised to change us back to young again. And that we would never get old. We would never know pain and sorrow again. We'd be young, eternally young. And a whole life ahead of us. Oh my. Hallelujah. So Father, with great anticipation, may we live every moment of our life just thanking you, Father, for having chosen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.